Today is Saturday, May 16th, and this is the World Socialist website. U.S.-China summit brings no respite in global war. U.S. President Donald Trump returned to Washington Friday from a two-day state visit to China, the first by an American president in nearly a decade, that offered no let-up in the global eruption of American imperialism. The trip produced no easing of the U.S. blockade of Iran, no halt to the U.S. arming of Taiwan, no reduction of Trump's anti-China tariffs, and no communique. The meeting took place in the shadow of the U.S. attack on Iran that had been launched less than 3 months earlier. Despite the brutality of the U.S. onslaught, the Trump administration had failed to achieve its aims of overthrowing the Iranian government, destroying its military, and gaining control of the Strait of Hormuz. Trump hoped to have arrived in Beijing as the conqueror of Iran, ready to dictate terms to China with a stranglehold on its energy supplies. Instead, he was facing a geopolitical disaster, and he sought Xi's aid in resolving the crisis created by the war. Xi sought to use the crisis created by Trump's disastrous war on Iran to strengthen China's bargaining position. He put on a disgusting display of subservience to Trump, who was greeted by a stage-managed crowd of people waving American and Chinese flags as he disembarked Air Force One. At the state banquet, Xi toasted that achieving the great rejuvenation of the Chinese nation and making America great again can go hand in hand, and told Trump the two should be partners, not rivals. This red carpet treatment was being given to a murderer and criminal who assassinates and kidnaps the leaders of sovereign states, who routinely threatens to exterminate entire societies, and drops hints at using nuclear weapons against civilian populations. But for all this display, the summit achieved no public breakthrough, and any private promises Trump made Xi in order to secure his cooperation to resolve the Iran crisis are completely worthless. The Trump regime confronts a deepening political, social, and economic crisis. Trump's approval rating has fallen to 34%, the lowest of his presidency. The U.S. national debt has reached 100% of gross domestic product, 1 year after the latest of three separate debt downgrades by the major rating agencies. Mounting doubts about the dollar's status as the world's reserve currency hung over the trip. Against this backdrop, the summit made clear that the U.S. effort to economically strangle China, begun in earnest under the first Trump administration, has failed. In October 2018, Vice President Mike Pence declared the intent of the United States to seize the commanding heights of the 21st century economy. The campaign of economic warfare that followed, waged through tariffs and export controls, was continued through the Biden administration and into the second Trump administration. This effort has not destroyed China's technology sector, which has made major advances in robotics, autonomy, and artificial intelligence. Despite these advances, or rather because of them, China confronts a U.S.-led imperialist world order determined to strangle and subjugate it through economic and military warfare. The U.S. rampage in Latin America and the Persian Gulf, alongside its efforts to acquire Greenland and the Panama Canal, are part of a drive to seize the world's strategic choke points in preparation for direct military conflict with China. In the face of this offensive, aimed at reducing China, alongside the entire former colonial world, to subjugation, Chinese Chairman Xi Jinping spent the summit making entreaties toward peaceful cooperation between the United States and China. Xi opened the summit by asking whether the two countries could transcend the so-called Thucydides trap and forge a new model for relations between major powers. He added that the common interests between China and the United States outweigh our differences. The Trump administration, by contrast, sees any potential thaw in relations with Beijing as an occasion to accelerate U.S. rearmament and better position the country for war. These calculations were expressed by Wes Mitchell, Assistant Secretary of State in the first Trump administration and a close ally of leading strategists in the current one. Writing in Foreign Affairs, Mitchell described the administration as seeking to buy time and get the pieces in place for a stronger future position. In such a scenario, the U.S. would have a deeper arsenal of weapons, backed by a reanimated American industry that is less reliant on its main rival to develop life-saving medicines, power the U.S. economy, or acquire the materials to wage war. There can be no peaceful coexistence between American imperialism and China. American capitalism, crisis-ridden and indebted, cannot tolerate China's continued economic growth. To accept China's economic ascent would mean the collapse of the dollar-denominated world order on which the entire system of U.S. power rests. Ultimately, the U.S. drive to subjugate China arises from the structure of the capitalist world order itself. The irresolvable contradiction between a globally integrated economy and a system of competing nation-states, each defending the interests of its own ruling class. Notwithstanding its immense economic growth, which would not have been possible without the 1949 revolution, China is not a worker state, a socialist state, or even a socialist market economy. It is headed by a regime that is the product of the decades-long process of capitalist restoration that began with Deng Xiaoping's reform and opening up in the late 1970s. A process the ICFI analyzed at each step as a betrayal rooted in the Maoist variety of Stalinist nationalism. That restoration created an enormous working class of hundreds of millions, integrated China into the circuits of world capital, and produced a stratum of billionaires tied to global markets, international supply chains, and the dollar-denominated financial system that Washington wields as a weapon. The peaceful coexistence Xi proposed is a fantasy. Despite the enormous economic ties binding the Chinese and American economies, the dominant tendency is military escalation. As David North outlined in his address to the 2023 May Day rally, there is much talk today about the coming of a multipolar world, which will supposedly supersede the unipolar hegemony of American imperialism. The rule of Washington will be replaced, according to the academic and pseudo-left theorists of multipolarity, by a consortia of capitalist states, which will collectively and harmoniously preside over a more peaceful division of global resources. This new version of a peaceful ultra-imperialism is no more theoretically coherent and politically viable than it was a century ago when it was first proposed by the German reformist Karl Kautsky and comprehensively refuted by Lenin. The peaceful distribution and allocation of global resources among capitalist and imperialist states is impossible. The contradictions between the global economy and capitalist nation-state system lead to war. In any event, the realization of a multipolar world, setting aside its incorrect theoretical foundations, requires its peaceful acceptance by today's dominant imperialist power, the United States. This is not a realistic prospect. The United States will oppose with all the means at its disposal efforts to block its drive for unipolar hegemony. Thus, the utopian striving to replace a unipolar with a multipolar world leads, by its own twisted logic, to World War III and the destruction of the planet. The working class must formulate its own response to the global eruption of U.S. imperialism. Trump has already made clear that the global war being launched by U.S. imperialism will be a war on the working class at home. At a White House Easter luncheon on April 1st, he declared, "It's not possible for us to take care of daycare, Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things. We have to take care of one thing, military protection. We're fighting wars," he said. "The American worker gains nothing from a tariff war fought to preserve the profits of the corporations that destroyed his industry. Chinese workers must understand that there is no national solution to the crisis. However significant China's technological progress, the country cannot secure its development through appeals to the better angels of the imperialist powers that are moving to crush it. World war can be stopped only by the international working class, organized independently of all factions of the capitalist class, in fighting on the program of socialist internationalism. That program is fought for by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the Socialist Equality Parties, and the International Workers' Alliance of Rank and File Committees." Workers at NexTier Automotive in Saginaw reject second sellout contract by 73%. Call for strike action to win their demands. Shannon Jones, are you a NexTier worker? For information on joining the NexTier Workers Rank and File Committee, fill out the form at www.wsws.org/rank-and-file. That's www.wsws.org/rank-and-file. All one word. Workers at parts supplier NexTier Automotive in Saginaw, Michigan, decisively voted down a second sellout tentative agreement Friday. According to United Auto Workers, UAW, Local 699, the contract went down by 73% to 27%. Production workers voted down the contract by a resounding 76%. Skilled trades workers also rejected the contract. The contract rejection is a major victory for rank and file workers and represents a repudiation of the UAW bureaucracy that negotiated the sellout, which betrays the workers' fundamental demands. The rejection took place in the face of fear-mongering and lies by local union officials who falsely claimed that a strike would be illegal and suggested that workers could lose their jobs if they voted no. The deal was in many respects worse than the contract the workers rejected by more than 96% on March 31st. It contains an expanded grow-in period for new hires who would have to work 48 months before reaching the full production wage, while starting pay would remain at $19.50. Out-of-pocket health costs for workers hired after 2021 would rise sharply. Under conditions of soaring inflation, the full rate for production workers after 4 years would be $27 an hour, what workers at the plant made when it was called Saginaw Steering under the General Motors spinoff Delphi more than 20 years ago. Local UAW officials have been thrown into crisis by the contract rejection. A local official hung up the phone when asked by a World Socialist website reporter to comment on the vote. The union has called a membership meeting for Sunday morning, ostensibly to discuss next steps with workers, while UAW President Sean Fain and his cronies on the local level as desperate to prevent a strike, there is widespread support for an immediate walkout. The NexTier Workers Rank and File Committee has issued a statement urging workers to attend the meeting to vote for and organize an immediate strike. Workers at NexTier are in a powerful position. The 1,300 workers produce steering components and other parts that are essential to the production of very profitable vehicles at General Motors, Ford, Stellantis, and other auto companies. Under the just-in-time delivery system, a strike by NexTier workers or workers at other key parts suppliers could quickly shut down auto production lines. The contract struggle at NexTier takes place alongside a growing tide of militancy among auto parts workers, with contracts at several important parts suppliers expiring. Workers at American Axle voted by 98% to grant strike authorization Monday, while workers at Dana, Bridgewater Interiors, and Magna Seating face imminent contract expirations. A strike by NexTier workers could galvanize workers across the auto parts industry in a common fight against poverty wages and abusive working conditions. Will Lehman, a rank-and-file Mack Trucks worker from Macungie, Pennsylvania, who is running for UAW president, issued the following statement on the rejection vote by the NexTier workers. I welcome the courageous vote by NexTier workers and call on all UAW members to support their fight against the conspiracy between the company and the UAW bureaucracy. What is happening at NexTier is not unique. We have all seen these betrayals before. It is time to draw lessons. We can't keep moving in the old way. We have to act in our interests independently without being told what we can and cannot do by the UAW apparatus. GM, Ford, Stellantis, and Mack workers who were sold out in 2023 recognize what is happening at NexTier, and we have to give our brothers and sisters an understanding of what UAW President Fain is capable of doing to sell us out behind all the phony claims of historic gains and UAW reform. We are not going to win until we take an independent path, study the history of the past struggles of the working class, and apply these lessons now. If we don't fight now, there will be nothing left to fight for. I call on workers to join and build the NexTier Rank and File Committee and raise the following demands. No contract, no work, no arbitration, no extensions, immediate strike action to win workers' demands. $1,000 a week strike pay. Replace the current bargaining committee with a committee of trusted rank-and-file workers chosen by and accountable to the shop floor workers. Coordinate with auto workers across the U.S. and internationally, including parts workers with expiring contracts, to honor next-tier picket lines and refuse to handle scab parts. I further call for a living starting wage and rapid progression to top pay. Full health care coverage for all workers and their families. Enforceable limits on overtime, speed up and scheduling abuse. Job security and anti-outsourcing protections. Workers' control over safety and staffing. Explicit, enforceable prohibitions on cycle time surveillance or the use of tracking data for discipline. A WSWS reporting team spoke to Next Year workers Thursday while the contract ratification vote was in progress. Sentiment for rejection of the contract and a strike to win workers' demands was overwhelming. Nate, a veteran Next Year worker, said, "Everyone I talk to says this contract is worse than the first one. You are going to give us a dollar raise over 4 years, and gas is already $5 a gallon? We can't afford that. How are we supposed to get to work? People feel like we come here, we work, we do what you tell us to do, and then you say that you made this money these couple years, but you don't want to give that money to workers. Then they say, well, we don't care about you workers, we will replace all of you. Some new hires come in the door, and after 4 hours say, I can't handle this, and quit. And I've been there 19 years, and you want to give me a dollar raise over 4 years? That is nothing to look forward to. I might as well work at McDonald's. In fact, I feel like McDonald's and Taco Bell are giving out better incentives than what I'm getting." When WSWS reporters pointed out that parts workers used to earn pay roughly equal to the big three, Nate said, "My sister used to work here, and my dad used to work here. So yeah, they used to make better money." Other workers expressed similar sentiments. There was particular anger over the treatment of new hires, who would be required to start at the poverty pay rate of $19 per hour and take 4 years to work up to standard scale. On top of that, new hires would have to pay more than double for health insurance. Chris, a young worker with 2 years, said, "I hate seeing how workers are treated. This has to stop. I'm 100% behind this rank and file committees, because if no one does anything, it's going to stay the same. Someone has to step up. Now is the time to vote no, strike, and stick together to get this done. Let's get our fair share. I know for a fact if we stopped work for a day, they would be hurting. People need to realize the power they have. Without us, they are nothing at all. It doesn't matter if you are black, white, girl, boy. Without us working, they can't do anything. It is time now for us to stop feeding the rich. Stop these bonuses for the higher-ups. These Christmas parties they get while we're sitting there working 9 hours, 6 days a week, breaking our bodies just for them to tell us it is not enough. It has to stop. It really has to stop. And we need to stick together now more than ever while we have the power. We need our fair share immediately, now, not later, not 2 years down the line. Not, let's negotiate for another year. But now. There's no way this contract should have even been brought to us. And the scare tactics of losing insurance, that's all BS. They're trying to scare people into voting yes. No one should vote yes. If we strike for one day, they're hurting critically. GM's losing so much money. So you think that we should just take this, my contract for 5 years? Not even four, but five? It's ridiculous. We need a rank and file committee immediately. At Next Year, the bargaining committee is handpicked. There's a lot of yes men. There's a lot of people in management's pockets doing things that benefit them. That has to stop. We need some people working for the workers, not working secretly with management or trying to tell us this is the best you are going to get. That's not true at all. Attend Sunday's meeting to vote for an immediate next-tier strike. Statement of the Next-Tier Workers Rank and File Committee. The following statement was issued by the Next-Tier Workers Rank and File Committee after workers at the Saginaw, Michigan Auto Parts plant voted down a second sellout contract brought back by the United Auto Workers bureaucracy. After the massive rebuke, UAW Local 699 officials called a membership meeting for Sunday morning to discuss next steps. For information on joining the rank and file committee, fill out the form at wsws.org/rank and file. That's wsws.org/rank and file, all one word. Brothers and sisters, we have been patient long enough. We have voted down the UAW leadership's rotten tentative agreements twice, by 96.2% and 73.3%. We watched as the UAW International and Local 699 officials extended the contract behind our backs and told us it was illegal to strike. They came back with a rotten deal expanding the tier system, locking in poverty wages, and handing the company unchecked control over line speed and cycle time surveillance. We are tired of the games, the loopholes, the memorandums of understanding. No one in the plant trusts the union leadership. This has to stop. We have to recognize the enormous power we have. It is now or never. If we stop working, everything comes to a screeching halt. We can mobilize our brothers and sisters at other parts plants and the Big Three. On Monday, American Axle Three Rivers workers voted by 98% to authorize a strike. Contracts are expiring at Dana, Bridgewater, and Magna Seating. Now is the time to strike. After we voted down the latest pro-company deal, UAW Local 699 officials have called a membership meeting Sunday to discuss next steps. There is only one next step, a membership vote to walk out on strike on Monday. We are not asking the UAW officials for their blessing. We are ordering them to abide by the will of the membership. If they refuse to hold a strike vote, they should step aside. We will organize our own vote and elect a committee to organize a strike, outline our demands, and reach out to other auto and auto parts workers for support to win our demands. No contract, no work, no arbitration, no extensions. Strike now. Every extension the UAW officials grant is time given to next year to stockpile parts and break our strike before it begins. Any arbitration is a trap to impose the dictates of a company-friendly board and stifle the power of workers on the shop floor. We reject all of it. No contract means no work, and that must be enforced by us, the rank and file. We demand $1,000 a week in strike pay. The UAW's $850 million strike fund was built by the workers. It belongs to the workers. It must be used to fight for the workers, not for the bureaucrats' cushy vacations at Black Lake. Remove the bargaining committee. Put the rank and file in control. The current bargaining committee has delivered two sellouts in a row and forfeited any right to speak in our name. We call for its immediate removal and replacement by a committee of trusted rank and file workers, chosen by shop floor workers, accountable to shop floor workers, negotiating openly on terms set by us. Every step of the negotiations must be conducted in full view of the membership. The days of backroom deals while we are told to wait are over. Coordinate across the industry. Honor our picket lines. We are not alone. NexSteer produces steering systems for GM, Ford, and Stellantis. When steering components stop, assembly lines stop. We occupy a strategic position in the supply chain, and we must use it. With rising prices, gas near $5 a gallon, and constant wars, everyone is fed up, not just in America, but around the world. We must call on our fellow auto workers across the U.S. and internationally to honor our picket lines and refuse to handle scab parts. A strike at NexSteer, coordinated with workers throughout the industry, can send shockwaves from Saginaw to Detroit to Mexico and beyond. That is the perspective of the International Workers Alliance of Rank and File Committees, IWARFC, and it is the only strategy that can win. Our demands. NexSteer posted $4.6 billion in revenue and $102 million in profit in 2025. Management received $10,000 bonuses. There is no shortage of money. The only way to scrape by at NexSteer right now is to work massive overtime. No one should have to break their body down or work more than 40 hours a week just to make a living. We deserve time with our families and freedom from constant worry about our jobs. Now they are adding systems to monitor cycle time, and the union is going along with it. That's just immoral. it must be abolished. The Next Tier Workers Rank and File Committee urges workers to adopt the following demands for our strike: abolition of all tiers, equal pay and benefits for equal work, immediate substantial wage increases that exceed the rate of inflation with cost of living adjustments, a living starting wage and rapid progression to top pay, not 24 or 48 months of poverty, full health care coverage for all workers and their families, no premium hikes, no doubled weekly contributions, enforceable limits on overtime, speed up and scheduling abuse, job security and anti-outsourcing protections, full transparency and the right to oppose the shifting of work to lower wage operations. Workers control over safety and staffing with elected rank and file safety reps empowered to stop unsafe work. Explicit, enforceable prohibitions on cycle time surveillance and the use of tracking data for discipline, job elimination, and speed up. Join the fight. As one of our brothers put it, 15 years ago, we were told this was just a bump in the road. It's time to pay the hardworking floor workers what is owed. He is right. This was not a bump in the road. This has been the road, and we have been on it long enough. Join and build the Next Tier Workers Rank and File Committee. Talk to your coworkers on your shift and in your department. Attend Sunday's meeting to vote on immediate strike action. The power is in our hands if we are willing to take it and use it. We are not pleading with the union bureaucrats. We, the rank and file, are asserting our control. No contract, no work. Strike to win. Next Tier Workers Rank and File Committee. For these articles and more, visit the World Socialist website at wsws.org. This narration has been provided by an automated voice.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.